Hey, Holly Tanner.
Hey, Justin Weaver.
Did you hear there's a big election coming up?
I know, for mayor of Hudson.
Oh, hi, everyone. Be sure to tune in to Something to Talk About on Wednesday, September 23rd from 10 to 11 a.m.
Because our guest will be Mayor Bill Hallenbeck, and he'll be here the entire hour. That's September 23rd starting at 10 a.m. WGXC 90.7 FM.
Don't miss it.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of WGXC or Wavefarm.
And good morning, everybody. People are talking. Good morning. Happy first day of fall. It's Holly Tanner and
Justin Weaver.
Something to talk about. Welcome, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We didn't play much of our intro song because we have such a busy hour today, don't we, Justin?
We certainly do. Well, we have the Pope that's finally landed in America for the first time, isn't it, ever?
Yes, it is. I think it's his first visit of the Pope to America. So it's very exciting.
But more importantly, we have the mayor here.
Good morning.
The mayor has also landed. That's
Bill
right.
Bill Hollenbeck is here in the studio. Welcome, Bill.
Good morning.
Not quite the security issues that they're having with the Pope, but, you know, that's okay. Yes, the Pope is here. Very exciting. I do have a couple of other announcements that I'd like to make, and I know we need to hear weather with Weaver because today is the first day of fall.
It is.
What's the weather looking like? I know it's beautiful outside.
It's gorgeous. We had a 48 degree start to the day on my walk here. But keep in mind, everybody, even though you're walking in 48 degrees, you will still end up drenched once you reach your destination. If you are 6'5" and 200 and blah, 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 blah pounds. Okay? So just keep that in mind. But we are looking at a high of 76 today. We're looking at 76 tomorrow. And we're looking at just low 70s through the weekend, 72, 73, 72. So, you know, you can't shake that off with a stick, and who'd want to?
I love this weather.
Me too.
Fall's my favorite time of year.
It reminds me back of, you know, Hudson High School football games.
Right.
I never played. I was in the bleachers cheering along with the cheerleaders. But anyway, I loved it all the same.
It brings back good memories. Crisp air and apples and hoodies and all that fun stuff. Well, thank you for that weather report. It has been lovely out. And we did get a little bit of rain, which was nice, too. A couple of upcoming events that I just want to bring to everyone's attention. The Columbia and Green Chamber of Commerce will host again the Buy Local Business Expo next Thursday, October 1st from 4 to 7 at the Basilica. And there's local beer, wine, food, and live music, in addition to all sorts of vendors. So stop by, including your local DMV. Ooh. So please, you can get all sorts of forms and some tchotchke. So please stop by the Buy Local event. I also wanted to mention that September is Suicide Prevention Month. And unfortunately, our scheduling did not work out with Mary Jo Gibson. She wanted to come on the radio to talk about this, but I told her I would let everyone know there is an Out of the Darkness walk on Saturday, October 3rd at the Dutchman's Landing in Catskill, and lots of people will be walking to fight suicide. The proceeds for this benefit go to the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention.
Very important cause.
So you can register at afsp.org/CRNY walks. And if you're in a crisis, you can call 1-800-723-TALK. And there's actually another Suicide Prevention Month. September is also for veterans. That's when veterans focus on suicide prevention for veterans. And you may or may not know this, but suicide is a huge issue for our returning military personnel. And there's also help specifically for them. The lovely ladies of the Post 1314 Auxiliary stopped by my office with some information. And if you're a veteran and you're depressed and down, please don't feel like you're alone. You can call 1-800-273-8255, and you do have to press option 1. So please do that. Again, Suicide Prevention Month, so go check out the walk on Saturday, September 3rd, and help support this important event, because suicide is a tragedy that no family should have to go through.
No. And we have certainly set the tone for this interview.
Excellent.
Sorry, Bill.
Yeah.
There's one other piece of information. We had Vince Grimaldi on. Where am I going? We had Vince Grimaldi on the air with us on our last show, and he mentioned an event that was taking place. And if my page here will boot up, I will tell you there's a change. It was going to be, so it's the Veterans Miracle Center Drive and the VFW Information Exchange, again, for veterans. It was supposed to be held at the college, and for some reason, technical difficulties, bureaucratic red tape, it could not be held there. However, the Hudson American Legion Post 184 has stepped up to the plate. So that event is going to be Saturday, October 10th at the Hudson American Legion Post 184. So again, collecting donations, clothing, personal care, hygiene products, houseware items, ambulatory equipment, toys, along with cash donations for the Veterans Miracle Center. So just wanted to pass that along because Vince was on, and there was a change after where I think that happened last week, that change. So Yogi Berra passed away.
You're on a death kick this morning, girl.
I know. It's so sad.
Oh my goodness.
But no, the Pope is here. There's hope for everybody.
The Pope is here, and Bill's here, so maybe we should start talking to Bill.
We can do that. How are you doing, Mayor?
Very good. Thank you, good. Justin and Holly, for having me here again.
We're
in the
so
whole,
glad.
In the hour and entirety
here. It was only 8 minutes, Justin.
Interview.
He's given me the evil eye. We appreciate you being here.
I'd like
here.
To also recognize what you said also about the veterans and any veteran that believes they need to seek any type of help in regards to
very
the
important.
Potential for suicide. I also met with the VFW representatives in my office yesterday, and we have the same literature in City Hall right now. So,
important to get the word out.
If you don't mind, I'd like to also take a moment to send prayers from the mayor and all our residents to the family who lost a five-year-old in an accident in Kinderhook. We all know that sometimes we can't, we scratch our heads wondering why these tragedies happen.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine what that family's going through, and any assistance they need from certainly the mayor and or any of our residents, as you've seen with the way the community showed their support with the vigil.
We're actually collecting donations at the clerk's office for the family, and it was a big tragedy. So sad. I saw the pictures on Facebook of that sweet little boy. And
there's a GoFundMe account that was created, too, that's on Facebook.
Yeah. Very
so
sad,
I appreciate the opportunity.
We're glad
you're
here.
It's an election year, and it's certainly a formidable election for everyone, and it's certainly one I'm looking forward to. We have some debates set up, not only one here, WGXC, but also a couple more that we're trying to bridge the gap on some of the details of those, and I think we'll be able to do that. What I'd like to do is, and certainly I'd like to speak about some of the things. I'm not a social media guy per se, but there's been and continues to be a lot of what I believe is misinformation from my opponent and from those affiliated with her on different social media sites that I'd like to address. And just kind of address, because it was said at one point in time that, you know, the mayor has done nothing and the city administration under me hasn't done anything. Just first address categorically what we've worked on and what a mayor does, because I can tell you this position demands professionalism and it demands time. And it's 24/7, 7 days a week. And I'd like to just go over some of the things that we've worked on and then speak as expeditiously as I can about some of the matters concerning the city of Hudson and the election that I believe the people who listen to your radio show should hear some truths behind some of the things being said on these social media sites. Is that okay?
Yes, absolutely.
Sure.
That's why we're here.
The floor is yours.
We are truth finders.
So as mayor, nice. As mayor, I've been involved with, I'll just go over some of the categories. Mayor is involved with appointments to city positions, we dealt with apartment sizes, assessments, affordable housing, business and business developers, Bliss Tower issues, housing authority, dog parks, approving many events yearly, contracts and negotiations, running City Hall, efficient energy, purchasing equipment for our services, budgeting, the Figari Shacks, Foster's Refrigeration Cleanup, Firemen and Women Retirement, Farmers Market, dealing with laws, approving or vetoing them in some cases, minority hiring, parking issues, parades, police matters, property sales, public safety, quality of life, infrastructure issues and maintenance, seniors in the senior center, youth in the youth department, shared services, snow emergencies, the ticket bureau, now located in City Hall and run by the Marriott, the truck route, Ferry Street Bridge, taxes and keeping taxes low, veterans, 100 weddings officiated yearly by the mayor, the census, supermarkets, parks, fracking waste, restructuring the police department to a 21st century community-sensitive department, attended multiple, and a mayor attends multiple invitations to attend multiple functions on a weekly basis, just to name a few. But as you know, over the past few months that I had an opponent, she and her supporters would lead you to believe that I've done nothing, which is amazing in itself. First, my opponent and her founding Hudson Forward Club, that I believe she was, what I call her, the CEO or the organizer of Hudson Forward, I believe anyway, are so far removed from city reality, it's scary to think that someday they could be running the city. For example, they think good government is when you host and moderate public information sessions, but not when you act fiscally responsible and steadfast against those who want taxpayers to foot the bill for the wants of a few and not the needs of the city. They will have you believe that they have the answers for the Hudson City School District with providing resource guides and report cards on elected officials like they had on me, and on dictating to the school how the school can be successful when the taxpayers of Hudson have had to foot the bill of an 8-9% school tax increase over the last 3 years that my opponent, Mrs. Hamilton Martin, not only sat on the school board during this time, but was also at one time vice president of the board. They will have you believe that the city needs a dog park and that they will continue their efforts to construct one if elected at taxpayers' expense. I've waited patiently for my opponents in Hudson Forward over the last year and a half to provide the funding for the dog park they said they could raise. I took the initiative to agree to Mill Street location provided by Don Moore and Alderman Bartolini, and all of us have heard nothing. Thus far, there has been nothing brought to the table on that progress almost 2 years later, even though my opponent suggests that she sent letters to all of us. My opponent will have you believe that our community doesn't look out for one another, and that luck is what my administration has been running this city on. And nothing could be farther from the truth, and let me tell you why. You don't lower taxes, increase our general fund over $1 million, purchase an $880,000 fire truck, two new police vehicles, two new international dump trucks at $239,000, a new street cleaner, a new mini excavator, a $30,000 Ford sewer truck, a $38,000 diesel pump for DPW, over $1 million of equipment to better serve our community and improve quality of life, with, by the way, zero financing and no tax increases, all while the city provided a 0% tax increase, a less than 1% tax increase, and a 1.2% tax increase, respectfully, over 3 years, as we increased our fund balance equity account at this very same time. And in addition to all of this, we now have world-renowned media outlets praising what the city of Hudson has become, and this, of course, is all based on luck, according to my opponent. My opponent uses terms in online videos that she's posted, such as inaction, indifference, and lack of vision for my administration. I believe Mrs. Hamilton is out of touch with the progress my administration has brought to this ever-changing city progression, and she should spend more time within our community, as I do, and pay attention to the voices of all our residents, not just the few who support her agenda, and she would realize her statement is baseless and false. My opponent states that in regards to snow emergencies, there will be one set of instructions for the residents. I submit to you that there has always been one set of instructions for snow emergencies. Under my administration, we worked with County Emergency Management to develop a robocall, which is an email and phone call to residents that sign up for free on the county website. Also, we erected two huge Diamond Vision road signs, also providing instruction. Then we send it out to several media news outlets and place the snow emergency information on the Business Coalition website. We also send the instructions of the snow emergency home in August, in the August and October water bills, and copies of the instruction of the snow emergency law are available at City Hall. There's nothing more for the city to do in any other manner to address the snow emergencies. It is as efficient as we can make it. Although I have heard the Common Council may be considering change in the snow emergency law in our charter, I am unaware of what those changes are at this time. My opponent will try to lead and convince voters that providing a Tiffany Martin-created report card on the mayor, which is lacking much credible information to the contrary of what is detailed in that report card, is important to the development of the city. Let me state to your listeners, many of whom already are aware but would like me to share this information today for your listeners, the truth about the inaccuracies of the information provided in this report card. The waterfront, for example. We've worked with many developers in providing business and development at the waterfront. Before I even got here as mayor, we have, for example, the Dunn's building, where we had a developer who wanted to put a restaurant and brew pub at that location, where our legislative branch of government continued to say no, and that developer walked away. One of the things we have to be careful of, which I've always said about our waterfront, is the fact that for buildings like Dunn's building, if we're going to consider selling that building, that there be some kind of clawback for the city to maintain that property if, in fact, somebody we sell it to should say they're going to do something, not do it, and then own that building and leave. We would be left footing the bill for that building just sitting there at our waterfront, where we would be able to do nothing with it. Now, one of the things that we've done, because the report card said there isn't anything at our waterfront, is we've, through the Hudson Development Corporation, the Dunn's Warehouse Adaptive Reuse Concept Development through Saratoga Associates, we've developed a strategy and a concept rendering looking, and I'll show you here, I know your viewers can't see it, looking west of what I certainly support, and I think our council supports, in reference to the changes to the Dunn's building.
We should let the listeners know that the mayor has pulled out visual aids.
Mm-hmm. Visual aids of the concept drawing of Saratoga Associates,
yes.
Yeah. So
it's quite lovely. Okay.
So we are working diligently to provide a new waterfront development plan. Certainly we will continue to do that. I had one hotel owner that flew in one Sunday, actually by helicopter. They actually flew their own helicopter from Manhattan up and met with me. Mm-hmm. We took them on a tour, and they were a hotel developer. And after looking and being toured around the city, they loved the city, but they wanted the city to do something we couldn't do, and that was to guarantee that 100 apartments or 100 rooms would be rented daily for them to be able to even consider providing a hotel there.
Wow.
The 7th Street Park was another thing another
report card.
Report card item. My opponent said that there had been no changes to nor concrete plans for improving the park, except for no dog signs, which made a brief, fleeting appearance. In response to the dogs, let me just, I'll do this as quick as I can. I only have a few more minutes on these items. 7th Street Park, dog signs were erected for the following. The Common Council took it upon themselves. There's always a prohibition against dogs down at the waterfront. you know, people believe there should be dogs or dogs were allowed in the cemetery but not at the waterfront, where I think, and I would have supported the change of prohibiting dogs at the waterfront. But the council said, you know what, we're going to look at lifting this law so that dogs were allowed at the waterfront. Well, it failed. And after it failed, the mayor started getting phone calls from individuals who said, you know, Mayor, if you can't have dogs at a waterfront park, then you can't have dogs at any other park in the city of Hudson. So what did I do? I went to the Hudson Charter. I took a couple days to look through to find whether or not dogs were allowed anywhere else. And until such time as determining whether that was the case, I asked DPW to erect signs briefly in the parks to prevent that until I knew for sure. I found that there were no prohibitions. The signs came down. I got more calls from people who said, well, you know, if you're talking parks, you have the Cedar Park Cemetery. Maybe you're not supposed to have dogs there if you can't have them at the waterfront. So again, I looked through our charter. I found nothing. And on the day I found nothing, as I was walking out, DPW employee yelled to me, because I had yelled to Mary Chetsky that there was no prohibition of dogs in the cemetery that I could find. I was handed a regulation book, handbook. That suggested in the last line that dogs were not allowed in the cemetery. And that regulation book was still being used. It was created back in the 50s or 60s by what was called a cemetery commission. And it was still active. And the only one that could change that after speaking to the city attorney and determining who that was Commissioner Fultz. So I'll get to that in 1 minute. Getting back to the 7th Street Park,
right.
We've worked with, that's why the signs were put up, by the way. We work with different coalitions who come forward from time to time requesting that we do something with our parks, change our parks, spend money on our parks, which, you know, we've come close to trying to make happen. Unfortunately, you know, we do have a 1% tax cap now that the comptroller just came out stating we have to stay under. And we have different priorities right now, the Ferry Street Bridge being one of my top priorities. And we have a DPW that maintains our 7th Street Park, I think, exceptional. So will there come a day that, you know, an administration may want to change the entire look? Maybe. But, you know, we got to have who's going to pay for it, number one. And we have to deal with these other priorities first.
Bill, if I can interject, Mayor, if I can interject, because we're coming up on our half-hour break almost. But I just wanted to ask a couple of questions. And,
sure.
You know, again, we appreciate your coming in to speak to the listeners. Mm-hmm. And it is, I don't know if we mentioned this at the beginning, but you're listening to WGXC on 90.7 FM, the second of our three-part series. Both you and Tiffany have agreed to appear on our show. There's no concerns about anyone being impartial or not impartial. You've both agreed that you want to do this, which is great. So that's October 7th. But if I may, Mayor, you know, it sounds like from what you're talking about, since you've been describing some of the duties of mayor, you know, first off, how long have you been mayor?
This about 3.5 years.
Okay. So you're going for your
third term. Correct.
And why tell us why you want to be mayor? Well, sounds like a lot of work, a lot of headache.
It really isn't a lot of headache. The headaches come from individuals who say things that are happening when you're mayor and under your administration that aren't.
Okay.
That's the frustrating part.
But tell us why you want to be mayor.
Well, I want to be mayor
because
I think the city has come a long way. And I said this initially and in the beginning of winning my first term. Half my life has been spent in public service. This is what I do. 22 years in law enforcement. When I got out, I ran for county supervisor, and I was county supervisor for 2 years, then ran for mayor for 2 terms, and this is what I do. To assist now a municipality which has progressed amazingly over 3 years, and to make Hudson as good as any mayor could possibly make it and any resident could possibly want it.
In the beginning, when you started speaking about all the things that the mayor does and the mayor's office does, you mentioned how some people might think that it's very important for the public to be a part of meetings and to be interactive with the mayor's office. but you went in to talk about exactly what the mayor does, and that's more important than having everything be visible and to have people participate. I don't want to put words in your mouth. Would you like to have participation in meetings where people come and everything's open and visible, or do you prefer to have more closed door meetings to get things done?
Well, I don't necessarily have closed door meetings. I've never had a closed door policy. My door has always been open, as I think 80% or more of the residents in the city of Hudson have taken advantage of. And to the point where I've had people call me about some issues, quality of life issues, where I've made house visits and actually gone to their house Saturday, Sunday afternoon, Sunday nights to discuss what issues they have. When it comes to meetings, when you're dealing with developers, you know, those developers want to talk to the mayor until such time as whatever is discussed or whatever is accepted amongst parties is to become public knowledge. So if you're referring to meetings like the council has, it's a separation of government. So for a mayor or my opponent to say that I hold or don't hold public meetings, the only public meetings I hold are public hearings and going to council meetings that I'm not required to go to. In fact, some aldermen, when I go to council meetings, will even tell me. When I'm not there, they wonder why I'm not. When I am there, they tell me this is not your part, this is not the executive branch, it's the legislative branch, and you shouldn't be here. So
that's a difficulty, is dealing with the Common Council and you guys having a meeting of the minds.
Well, the Common Council is a separate branch of government, so right. They have their informal and they have their formal meetings. Some mayors, don't like being out in the public. I think I'm out more than any mayor any mayor that's been mayor over the last 10-15 years, although that's not a criticism, but I think that I spend a lot of time out in the community talking to people about what my plans are and what we're working on, and the public does have a lot of questions. Is there a time to hold public ward meetings? There might be, and I don't necessarily disagree with that, but I just want everybody to understand the setup of government here. We have a mayor and we have a council. Anybody in any ward who has any issue that they want addressed can do a couple things. First of all, they can go to their alderman representatives. The legislative branch makes laws, change laws, and can help them do that if they feel something is right, wrong, or indifferent. We have two aldermen that we actually pay for, the city of Hudson, in our budget, actually pay for, who represent the individuals in each ward. So the residents should know they can go to them for any help that they need. They can also come to the mayor's office and ask any questions they want about any issues they would like. And they can also attend their council meetings, informal and formal.
And email? Can they email you? Can they call? I know you've had an issue with some emails back and forth.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know if it was an issue with the mayor's email as much as it was trying to keep the campaign and election material and discussions out of City Hall.
Separate,
I don't think there's any place in City Hall for that. When it comes to discussing debates and discussing those other things. Obviously, as an elected official, if we're discussing politics on a particular item that we're addressing in the city of Hudson, that's one thing. But other than that, I try anyway the best I can. Of course, sometimes there's emails or phone calls that take place that, you know, can't be prevented in regards to, discussing campaigns or discussing debates. But emails, we get, and not an hour goes by and we got 30 new emails, and Mary Jean Chesky does a great job in trying to keep up with those emails. If I were a mayor to sit at the desk and answer all the emails that come in, that's all the mayor could do.
Right.
Yeah. Really. I mean, that's how time consuming it is.
Right.
I choose not to do that. I choose to be in the community. I choose to, there's meetings you have to attend. A mayor sits on the Hudson Development Corporation. A mayor sits on the HCDPA board. The mayor sits on the IDA board. The mayor has meetings that you know, he has to go to for, you know, for development and you know, invitations to discuss business issues within the business community, and you know, also, you know, a mayor has to deal with our services, you know, our youth department, our DPW, our cemetery, our code enforcement. Mayor, you know, I do that monthly by having what I call a command staff meeting with all the commissioners and department heads in my office so that we can also keep up with everything going on in those departments.
Yeah, Holly and I are watching this clock. We do need to take our musical break right now.
I was going to say, the mayor, we did let Tiffany, when she was in, did the song selection for our break, and so I asked Mayor Hollenbeck what his selection would be, and you're a Sinatra fan, huh?
I am. You like the Rat Pack, Sinatra
old Blue
fan.
Eyes. That's him, right?
That is him. Justin, so young. Yes,
I'd like and to
so,
hear so come young. Out, come out by
yes,
Frank Sinatra.
That is your that. Selection. Yeah. Come out, come out.
I did when I was
Frank
18,
Sinatra.
Bill.
See, that's a great
excellent.
Song for Justin.
Is that why you picked it?
I'm sorry.
And here it is.
Stay tuned.
Columbus had more chance than me when he set sail to cross the sea. At least he thought he knew what he was doing. And I'm in search of something too, exactly what I wish I knew. Yes, I pursue, but who am I pursuing? Chances are that I won't find a bride, but it won't be because I haven't tried. Come out, wherever you are. I know you're not very far. How I wish you'd hurry, 'cause I'm inclined to worry. These arms of mine are open, hoping you'll appear. Where are you, dear? Come out wherever you are. Come out from under that star. Yes, and incidentally, mentally, I'm not up to par. So come out, wherever you
And welcome back. You are listening to Something to Talk About with Justin and Holly here on WGXC 90.7 FM. And we are here live with your only guest of the hour, the mayor, Bill Hollenbeck. Hi
Thank
again,
you.
Bill. No, that Hello. Was Come Out by Frank Sinatra. Your opponent, Tiffany, her song was Respect. That is the theme of her campaign. Mm-hmm. Government That Respects You is what her campaign theme is. I want to know why you chose that song, and does it tie into what your campaign is?
It doesn't tie into what my campaign is, and it's just one of the songs that Sinatra does that I – there's not too many that I really, really would choose to listen to as a selection of songs, New York, New York, and, you know – this particular one, but
girls just want to have fun.
Yeah,
no.
Is that a Sinatra song?
That's funny. Yeah,
no,
so
that's Cyndi Lauper, but that's what I would have chosen.
Yeah,
because we do here something to talk about. We do just want to have fun.
Absolutely,
we?
That's right. That's
absolutely.
Right. And get information
yeah, so
out to the people.
It's just a good song.
Well, we have to ask that's the good. Two most important questions. That we have a whole list here that we have to get to. But
what
the two
we've
most
been waiting for
the two yeah. most important questions. We asked your opponent this as well. What's your favorite color? That's number one. And number two, what's your favorite movie of all time? Very important questions.
Yeah, the second one's tough. The first one, you should know what the color is, Justin, because
I would say blue.
It is sky blue.
Like your eyes.
If you remember,
all right,
when
boys.
I had it, listen, when I had a shirt on out in front of an establishment I won't mention, Justin said to me, do you know that shirt matches your eyes? And that was my favorite color shirt that I had on. So I'm just throwing that out there.
I did.
Yes. Indeed. Yeah. Oh, so goodness. Sky blue, I like to call it.
Okay.
Very
kind
nice.
Kind of like the light blue Converses you used to be able to get in the
70s. Chuck Taylors, right?
They're
Chuck Taylors. Chuck Taylors.
Yeah. See, I'm not that young.
You aren't that. Well, you are.
Old.
We're both young.
Yeah.
We're all
movie,
young here.
You know, that would be tough. There's so many.
Do you have a top two?
Great classics top that I like. You know, I love the 70s and a lot of the movies back in the 70s, Towering Inferno, that type of stuff. Christopher Walken, I think, I'd have to say, is my favorite actor.
Oh.
You know, The Deer Hunter was a great movie.
Could be a dark
and,
dude.
At Close Range was a great movie with Sean Penn. So it'd be tough for me to narrow it down just to one, but if I were to choose a movie based on who I'd like to see acting in that movie mm-hmm. in a star role, I'd say it would be Christopher Walken.
So you must like Pulp Fiction.
I know.
The
I
Watch.
Like them all. Yeah. Them all. Yeah. What a unique guy.
The Watch,
unique,
he is.
Unique person. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, back to lighter business and the mayoral campaign. But so I asked you why you wanted to be mayor. Yeah. But so what's your favorite part of the job?
Working with so many different people, so many different personalities, so many different interests in what happens in the city of Hudson. The cultural diversity, certainly, of the city of Hudson and meeting a lot of and learning a lot about, you know, different cultures in the Bangladesh community has been an honor, if not for anything else, to be able to be in the community, listen to how people appreciate what you at least try to do for them and what, in some cases, I've done for them because they think, you know, it's the mayor's, painted the lines across the road. They don't know that we have services that, you know, the mayor appoints commissioners to make sure that those services are are providing the service they're expected to provide to the community. But just hearing that and talking to people that live in the city of Hudson who, in most cases, feel that the city has come a long way in 3 years. And it's a position that breeds honor, you know. And I look back at all the other, I think I'm the 84th mayor that the city of Hudson has had. And I look at all the other past mayors that have accomplished so much for the city of Hudson and have done so much. I don't try to keep up with them. It's a different community now. We've transitioned to what we are. You know, they may have found it difficult being mayor today under these circumstances and the things that are changing, as I may have found it to be more difficult back then. But just being in the public and representing 6,700 people in the city of Hudson.
Mm-hmm. And along with being mayor, there comes many achievements and many mistakes. If you had to maybe say one or two on ends, what would you do with achievements as mayor and maybe one or two mistakes that you wish or that you learned from that maybe you won't
I think
repeat if possible,
well,
if you have one.
I think that, keeping any municipality who stays under a 2% tax cap, governor mandated, and we have many mandates that we have to pay for, stays under a 2% tax cap and is able to not have to ask the common council or the legislative branch of government to override that 2% tax cap. And again, the board of apportionment, estimate and apportionment, the common council president and the treasurer also works with me on the budget. But any mayor who can provide a 0% tax increase, a less than 1%, and a 1.2% tax increase to their residents, and also spend $1 million on equipment, like I mentioned earlier, in providing what we've provided to our services to make our services better, really at no cost to the taxpayers or no tax increases to do that, and then increase our revenue accounts about $1.5 million certainly is an achievement, probably the biggest achievement in itself. There's so many little things, as you've seen, that we've done, expanding you know, expanding the business district to be included now from Worth Avenue down to Front Street. The amount of infrastructure that we've completed, over $1 million in infrastructure, which was approximately 20 cents on the dollar to do because our DPW did it and we didn't have to contract out. Those savings add to what we've been able to do in increasing our revenue and our fund balance. So as far as, I mean, there's so many different, you know, I could probably go on with a list of, you know, I think achievements from a department standpoint of restructuring the police department to bringing in a new chief and having it more community friendly and providing, I think, better quality of life to our residents.
That is one thing that both sides agree on, that the police, what's been done with the police department and their interaction with the public, the police presence, the community, you know, being out in the community, and even what Mr. Mosley is doing and bringing young people in to show them what a day in the life of being a police officer is as a possible future career for them. I think that's amazing what's been going on with the police department.
And one thing we should realize, too, and our listeners, is that from a crime perspective, burglaries down 54%, larceny 31%. Vandalism 11, disorderly conduct 55%, noise complaints are down 25%. So, you know, when you're out with the community and providing a community based police department, these are the results of that, as far as I'm concerned.
Sure.
So across the board, you know, these are the effects of providing that new restructure at the police department. Now, you want to know
any mistakes? I know that's like when you're in an interview and they say, "What aren't
name
you good
fault.
At?"
You know,
and I'm like, "I try too hard. I don't know."
Yeah,
do you say to that? Where are you going to be? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? I'm like, I don't know. Still thinking about this question. That's where I see myself. A
couple things. The police in court. I was disappointed. There was, you know, when we started providing for this police in court over at the old Finish Line over on 7th Street, which I think is a great location, and I'll get to that in a second.
Mm-hmm.
We went out for bid, Alderman Haddad and the Joe Rapp Company, and other, you know, the Common Council President, myself. We worked initially on this. We were hoping, and certainly I felt, you know, that I would go to a certain amount of what we could spend on a new police in court. And when the bids came out after Alderman Haddad and Mr. Rapp were done completing their assessment and working with the architect, the bids came back approximately $1.5 million over, which was a huge disappointment. And certainly I would have, you know, I would have loved to have seen that change. Now, we're still working on that. We have the architect is working on providing additional plans right now and scaling back to see what that savings would be. But when it comes to having it have break ground already, it would have been nice for us to have been able to do that. The location, you know, you look at the building for what it is. We purchased the building to provide a police in court, which has been talked about for the last 15 years. The Office of Court Administration and everybody else is fine with the location. I have a candidate, Mr. Kappel, who mentioned in the paper yesterday that, you know, he didn't like the location because of the fact that trains go by and the court would have to stop every time a train went by, which it left me scratching my head because, you know, you have to understand the deliberation and the conversation that goes into dealing with the Office of Court Administration and all the stakeholders at the table. That's one thing we wouldn't have not discussed. But then he goes on to say that, you know, why couldn't we build a new one behind the Department of Social Services, which is right next to the same tracks that use the same trains that go past the 7th Street one. So, you know, I'll have to let that soak in a little bit to see what that's about. But having already broke ground at that location and not not having that happen yet, I think, would be one of the things that I wish we could have done. And then, you know, the Ferry Street Bridge. One of the issues we had with the Ferry Street Bridge when I closed the bridge was ownership. And, the dilapidated condition that the bridge was in, and the Department of Transportation coming in saying, listen, we're going to do another inspection. This bridge is not going to meet the threshold of 3 tons for vehicles to go over. We did not have ownership or know whether or not we owned the bridge. So I couldn't, as mayor, on a mayoral directive, close the bridge, with council approval, by the way, close the bridge. I had to close the street that the city owned leading up to the bridge until such time as we determined ownership, which didn't happen, by the way, through our city attorney up to 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks to a month ago, we finally got the letter that said, listen, this is the opinion of the city attorney. We believe it's fact. They sent it out, and then we own the bridge, which led to my press conference after I got the letter stating that we own the bridge to ask for assistance in replacing the bridge. Because we can't even apply for grants, or couldn't even apply for grants, without owning the bridge first. So it would have been nice. And, it, you know, got to understand that in 1904, this bridge was erected. The New York Central Railroad was blasting track, had to blast our Ferry Street road away. They basically said, you know, listen, we need to blast the road away. We'll put a bridge here. But back in 1904, there wasn't a paper trail like there is in 2015. You know,
I'm sorry to interrupt, but for some of the listeners that don't know where the Ferry Street Bridge is, that's the one that brings you into the boat launch.
It is the gateway to our waterfront.
Right.
And just for public safety purposes, this bridge should be the top priority for not only the county, not only the city of Hudson, not only the county, but for New York State. And one of my arguments at this press conference, one of my arguments was the city boat launch is not a city boat launch. It's owned by the state. I don't know how many people know that the boat launch down in the city of Hudson is owned by the New York State Park Commission. It's always been owned by that. However, we've, in the spirit of cooperation, we've maintained it with our DPW, with plowing, and any other maintenance we could provide. And we also maintained it with our police department and patrolled it at the expense of paying salaries to police department personnel and DPW employees, going as far back as when I became an officer in 1987 after graduating Albany Police Academy. We always maintained this state boat launch. So my thing is, we can expend money on salaries to maintain this for the state over these years. Mm-hmm. Why can't the state now step up to provide us with financial assistance to the gateway to our waterfront, which is this bridge, which public safety is a huge issue if this isn't open, although you can walk across it. That's not closed. Especially when you have these other entities, the railroad, Amtrak, Conrail, stating that the Water Street entrance may be at some point in time closed also in the future. I don't think it's the immediate future, but
I was going to say, was that one of the questions, Mayor?
Yes.
Because sometimes
I
was going to say, sometimes, and not just for the point of ownership, the railroad actually owns the bridge.
Yeah, and that's not the case, and that's what we were waiting for. So,
which then they would have had to pay.
I would have liked to have been able to address the financial situation. Maybe have already applied for some grants, maybe already have pleaded with state and federal officials for financing. If I knew a year ago or over a year ago when we closed the road leading up to the bridge that the city of Hudson owned the bridge.
It's been over a year, right?
And we just found that out 3 weeks ago. We officially found out that we are the owners of the bridge. So,
is that one of the main problems in government, Bill, is the slowness?
Well, and that's something that, not just my opponent, but a lot of people, because I didn't know either before I was mayor, how intricate and how detailed everything is, and what the process of the checks and balances and going through
and
the council.
For a reason,
a lot of people don't know that the Common Council has a lot of power.
Right?
The legislative branch of government approves almost everything that occurs in the city of Hudson. If I bring them something, they have to approve it. If they create law, I have the ability to either sign it into law or veto it. But the power lies mostly with the legislative branch of government, regardless of what the conversation is. You can look at the Figari shacks, for example, and what happens to them in the future. That decision has and continues to be with the legislative branch of government. What they choose to do with that, I can approve, should I continue to be mayor, or I can veto what they choose to send to me in regards to what the next steps are. Changing law to allow dogs somewhere, financing a new 7th Street park and taking hypothetically $300,000 to do it. All of these things have to be approved by the Common Council. And one thing I've always said was, you know, a lot of people think it's the mayor who makes these decisions and it's the council who approves these. I've always said, if you want me to be king, give the mayor king powers, and then we'll progress even more than what we have.
I do have a tiara or two laying around, if you'd like one, and a scepter, for that matter.
That's right.
I bet you do. I bet you do.
So,
We also do have to ask, before we run out of time, is what's your stance? Very important question. What's your stance on bringing back bed races? This was a Facebook question.
Listen. Bed races we should have had back, we almost did through, I don't know if I should mention the business who was going to sponsor the bed races. I know the city and the youth department, we used to do that, and certainly we can still consider that. I participated in the bed races. Understand this, when financially, we have to be careful on what the city spends money on. But there are a lot of businesses that I've spoken to, one in particular that wanted to do the bed races. But how do you provide for a bed race that was on Warren Street years ago and everybody enjoyed it and loved it, when most of the people on Warren Street that own property or business don't want to close the street, don't want to have these events on there, don't even want veterans marching down the street? That becomes an issue with not only having bed races for the enjoyment of those who can look forward to a special day like that yearly, becomes an issue with any event that we have on Warren Street, which certainly I've been criticized and ridiculed for providing road closure for events, honoring somebody that's been here 60 years in Jake Walthour and has owned a business as long as he has.
I think that,
it makes it difficult to want to proceed with having these special events that I still support and would support.
Right. That I think that issue was more with the length of time that it took for them to get their mass gathering permit. But, I mean, I love the Walthours, I love Savoyas, and there's no debate on that he definitely deserved a humongous party for all the years that he's put in. But can you speak to the people that had an issue with the with the length of time? I guess it's supposed to be 120 days for the
mass
gathering.
That was the problem. That was one of the reasons why Justin and I vetoed that law to begin with, because of the fact that it is, you know, 120 days is a long time for any organizer. I mean, if you're, you know, 30, 90, you're talking 4 months. What happens to those, you know, let's say we say, okay, 120 days is reasonable. I've yet, within that 120 days, have yet to not override or use my authority to say that it's okay.
You've even done that for me when I had my drag race.
Well, correct. Yeah, correct. So there's a perfect example.
And
what
maybe
if
120 days is too long? Is there a way to make it lower?
Well, it used to be. That's what the council changed.
What did it change from?
It was 60. It may have been 90, but I think it was 60, and it went to 120.
Right.
And that was my point. You know, in regards to, you know, you make it 120 days. You could tell people. You can make sure everybody in that block knows 120 days out. Not hear about it again, and they're not going to think about it and forget about the event 180 days down the road, or, you know, a half a year down the road.
Right.
Keep it simple, and I thought the mass gathering permit was just that. Just keep it simple. You know, everybody. I do like the fact that what was added in that law was the opportunity for the organizer to put in a paper for 7 days, which, or 2 days, whatever it is, a notice that they're having an event.
Right.
And we put that, I believe, on our website too, but at least in the paper. And that was done also, and that's done regardless of whether I waive the 120 days or not. That's done in all cases. That's not waiving the responsibility to do that.
So would the Common Council have to be the ones to change that from 120?
Well, they just changed it from 60 or 90 to 120.
But then you can they always would have veto to, it and allow
I,
it.
Well, I did that, but then the legislative branch of government, with a two-thirds vote, overrode my veto and passed it through anyway.
Right.
They can go back and change it again if they so choose.
What a tricky business you're in. You're in a very tricky business.
It is. It's again. That's why I said intricacy of knowing what the separations the separation of the executive and legislative branch and knowing what you can and can't do there. Not interfering with the judicial branch because you're the chief executive officer. There's a lot of things that you can do as mayor, and there's a lot of things you can't do. And it's important to have some of this is not a little political pitch, but I just want you to know it's important to have experience or at least know that you'll have that experience if you're voting for who you want the next mayor to be. And I just don't think that the city of residents of the city of Hudson want to vote for an experiment. And I'm not saying that just because of who my opponent is. I'm saying that as we sit right now in the city of Hudson and as how we progressed over 3 years, that's exactly what the residents would be doing if they consider changing what we have right now and voting, otherwise this November.
Okay. Well, we will make that your parting words, Mayor.
You.
We appreciate you
coming in.
You can listen to the archives if you missed something. And be sure to tune in on our next show, Wednesday, October 7th, when we will have Mayor Holland back along with his opponent, Tiffany Martin Hamilton, in studio live. Not a debate, a conversation.
I thought you said that changed.
No.
We thought it might change, but we're still sticking to that date.
Okay, good.
So we wanted to make sure that everybody could get here. So
that's
it's still
great.
October 7th
yes.
from 10 to 11.
Yeah, that was a side issue.
Yeah.
It wasn't
forward to
anything
seeing
with
you
us.
Again.
Yes. Yeah, appreciate you coming in. All right, thanks everyone.
Bye.
See you next time.